Hi, this is Molly Poggles. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4squared.com, lg, the number 4, square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast at lg4square.com. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Barnabas Project. I'm Candace Smith, and today on the show, we have the Enneagram Nines. I thank you for going on this journey with us. Our heart behind this Enneagram podcast was to showcase the amazing diversity of thought and processing that each of God's precious children have. We are made in the Imago Dei, the image of God, and He loves and created diversity. Honoring the diversity in one another is greatly needed in our culture these days. In John 13:35, it says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." God does not desire uniformity, but true godly unity. We read in Romans 12:4 through 5, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." Ephesians 4:16 says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." One of the gifts we can learn from our fellow Enneagram Nines is true unity and wholeness. For a nine, life is about bringing people together and being at peace personally and interpersonally. God created nines with particular gifts for bearing His image to the world. Nines reflect the peaceful, comforting, reassuring presence of the Father. The scripture nines should commit to memory is Ephesians 4:15. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." The temptation for nines is to withdraw and check out. Therefore, they must learn to trust their intuition, assert their presence, and exercise their voice. This is what Paul is exhorting us to do in this verse. "The body of Christ will not grow into the fullness of Christ apart from the boldness to speak the truth in love." Nines are good with the "in love" part. It's lacking the courage and clarity to speak the truth that they struggle with. The world needs their objectivity and voice, for they have unique ability to harmonize and restore peace. So in faith, they must learn to be bold and declare the truth in love. They can replace their fear of conflict with comforting reality that declaring the truth is the loving thing to do. And man, do I love these two nines, and I hope you do too. Thank you for going on this journey with us. Here are Zach Hall and Aspen Smith. This is Candace Smith. Welcome to the Barnabas Project. This is our last Enneagram podcast, and we saved the best for last.
Yes, we did.
Have our Enneagram Nines in the studio today. So in the studio with me is Mr. Zach Hall.
Hey, everybody.
And he's on the fence about Enneagram Nine, but he's in here and going to process with us.
Yeah.
Right? Our other nine today is Miss Aspen Smith.
Hi.
Hey. So this, you've been on the podcast before.
Yes.
But this is the first time you're in the podcast studio with us today.
Correct. I get to sign the board today.
You get to sign the board. And also helping me out is Mrs. Becca Hefner.
Hello.
Hello there. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You were just sharing that Hazel was not taking off today and was climbing out of her crib.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
It's just a nightmare. Youngest child things.
Oh, yeah.
Youngest child things. Yeah. There you go, Aspen. Yeah. That's right. So on today, today's podcast, we are going to talk about type nines. And I love a type nine. I think that they bring
so much to our culture in the form of peacemaking. And I think it is vital that our Type 9s rise to the occasion during this season. They showcase so much of God's peace. So I'm super excited to dive. So here we go. I am going to read a brief little synopsis here. If there's any word or any phrase that steps out to you or stands out to you that sounds like you, let us know. If there's something that's like, no way, that's not me, then let us know too, because we're all learning here. Okay. So healer, peacemaker, comforter, wise mentor. Type 9s are empathetic, easygoing, and peaceful. Along the way, they absorbed the idea that if they were to speak up and ask for what they need, then they would just be creating more problems. Aspen's already laughing. This can lead to a lifetime of learning to merge their desires with the needs of the room. A practice that ultimately makes Type 9s quite likable, but also disconnected from a deep understanding of who they really are and what they want. They are conscientious, adaptable, selfless, and likely the most likable person you know. Type 9s spend much time in their awareness of other people. They are often full of rich wisdom and insight that carries the perspectives of everyone. When a Type 9 takes the steps to speak out and share their opinion, it's really important that the rest of us make a point to listen. Most Type 9s possess a little of all the elements of the Enneagram, which can make it very difficult for Type 9s to type themselves. And both of them are already shaking their heads. Mm-hmm. They love maintaining peace of mind and tend to value comfort and ease. Nines can suffer from relational negligence. They can check out emotionally and relationally. When they are unhealthy, they will run from all conflict, and their defense strategy is to shut down and withdraw. The gospel of Christ comes in for a nine by transforming the fruit of negligence and passivity into peace-loving action and faithfulness to their relationships and responsibilities. The gospel nines need to believe in is that their ultimate peace is found in Christ, not circumstances. They have been justified by faith and have peace with God through their Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has solved their deepest conflict with God and has made them God's dear child. He has quieted their soul's deepest struggle with guilt by becoming their sin and their righteousness. They don't have to fear being good enough because they have Jesus, and he is their peace, and that surpasses all understanding. He is the God of peace who is always with them, and they can rest because in Christ they are known and loved by God. Nines reflect the peaceful, comforting, reassuring presence of the Father. They have an intuitive sense for how to resolve conflict and to see how things fit together and harmonize. They make excellent mediators, are patient, steady, receptive, comforting, dynamic, engaged, and passionate. They are essential to a world of conflict and pain. Wow.
Wow.
Well done, wow. You. What are your thoughts?
Is it a nine thing to not want to interrupt you while you were going down that whole entire list?
Probably.
Because I was like, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll just wait till the end and then I'll share my thoughts.
Does that feel right, Zach?
Yeah.
So was there one phrase that kind of stuck out to you?
I think we had talked about like the main descriptor of a nine, like the name that they give a nine and how it kind of sounded weird. Like it was something guru. Hidden guru
is one of the like.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but what was the alternate to that?
A wise mentor.
Wise mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's like, I identify with that, but I have to remind myself that like, I actually am like wise and a mentor to people because other times I'm like, I don't really do anything for anybody else. Like, I don't, I'm not wise and I don't give good advice. So.
What about you, Zach?
Yes.
yes to Aspen.
Yes. I think for me, it was when you first started talking about being able to adapt and to be likable. I think that is a strong skill set that I possess. I think I do check out sometimes emotionally to different situations.
What does that look like to you guys?
Is that what you're laughing at? Sorry.
Yeah.
Interrupted.
Yeah. I think... just being able to adapt and go with the flow and be able to mold myself into different friend groups that
like
I have.
You need.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally do that too.
So who's the real Zach?
What?
Who knows?
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute.
Are you having a moment, Aspen? Who's the real Aspen?
Yeah. I don't even know anymore. But what's the question you just asked?
Was there anything that stuck out to you?
No. It was after that when...
Oh, what does it feel like to check out?
Mm-hmm. Oh. It feels like when I check out emotionally, that literally looks like I just go in my room and I don't know, play Animal Crossing or I'm on my phone on TikTok all the time. Or it's like usually in my head, I'm like, I need a break. And I know I'll only find like actual rest if I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes... Well, not sometimes, all the time. That's what I do. Like, mm-hmm. I know I need to have like a rest day. And I find that like when I'm by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Zach?
I think there's a good and a bad side to checking out emotionally. I think maybe not the bad side, but the side of like just checking out and just being on your phone or just watching Netflix or whatever. Like, I definitely do that. Mm-hmm. But I think being a wise mentor, that part, being able to put the emotions aside and work with the person and mm-hmm. not just get your emotions in with their emotions and then just kind of, but be able to mm-hmm. not separate them, but put them like categorize them and be able to assess the person and then bring that back into it. I think
I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you empathetic, Zach? Like, do you empathize with people?
I'm going to say no. Yeah, I think I can feel the room mm-hmm. and I can feel things, mm-hmm. but a person emotionally, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I would say, like, I don't know if this is kind of what you're saying or not, but I don't cling to that person's emotions. Mm-hmm. And like, I can understand how they're feeling and why they might be feeling that, but it's not, it's like,
you don't take it on.
It doesn't affect
you. I can connect with that person emotionally, but mm-hmm. then like a few minutes after, I can be like, oh. TikTok. Yeah. Okay.
Like, right. Which just, might make you why they say nines are really great mediators, because you can empathize in that moment. Yeah. You can see mm-hmm. what the need is mm-hmm. and not have to bring in your own stuff into that moment. Right. Yeah. Like you can be able to compartmentalize that a little bit. So, that's really good. So now I'd like to play bingo with you guys. Bingo. We haven't played bingo with everybody. We're going to play this today. So I have some phrases and you tell me if this sounds like you or doesn't sound like you. Okay. Yeah. Favorite blanket.
Bingo.
No, I'm going to pass on that.
But one. I will say that the blankets have changed in rank over time.
That's what's your favorite blanket now?
The one that my grandmother made for me.
There you go.
So
that's a quilt. Yes. You also have a weighted blanket.
I do. Mm. That is very high on the
list.
Do
you like that?
Yes. Mm. I don't think I did it first, but it's like, you should try it out.
Okay. The first one on here, this is so funny because you literally all both just said this. Waits to speak until they have something to say.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I feel like all the types.
Bingo-ish.
Bingo-ish. You can relate to all the types?
Yes. I mm-hmm. think it's more like in my brain, I can understand every type.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I like embody all types at all times.
You can just understand where they're coming from?
Yeah.
Yes.
You got that too, Zach?
Second one Aspen says, I don't know if I...
Yeah.
I would say ish.
Ish.
Yeah.
Right. Always knows whose turn it is to speak.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Procrastination.
Bingo.
Bingo. Yeah. But, you know, so I've been getting out of that groove a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
Been practicing it at school.
Yeah. Nines are not the only procrastinators. I'm a horrible procrastinator. Okay. Just tell me step by step how to do it.
Oh, so much bingo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, bingo for sure.
Mm-hmm. And why is that helpful? Tell me why.
I'm actually like angry at myself for like that specifically, because if I don't have like a step by step, I'll just like have a mental breakdown, even though I could probably like investigate what to do. But I just want someone to be like, this is exactly how you can do it correctly the first time.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think for me, it's efficiency. I don't want to waste my time doing something that I think this is how it should go.
Right.
When I'm doing this for you, you just tell me how you want to do it.
You want it a certain way.
I don't have to go back and forth. It's just like, there you go. You do this.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I feel like that's tagging into that three healthy three thing that you guys can experience. I don't want to offend anyone.
Bingo.
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah. Okay. Quietly stubborn.
I think I would need someone else to maybe tell me that I am like that, but maybe. Zach,
this reminds me of our snowboarding days.
Becca's
Well, how does this remind you of our snowboarding
days? I don't know. I just had like an image of you walking back. I think it was after you sprained your ankle that one time.
Oh, yeah.
But I just had, I don't know why that would make you stubborn, but that's what I,
yeah, I think I would need someone to, stubborn isn't a word that I've been, has been used around me a lot. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't, but quiet for sure.
Yeah.
So if that's part of the, yes.
So maybe that's a maybe. What about, yes, I can do that.
Yeah. I'll say bingo for that one.
Bingo. Mm-hmm.
I've literally heard you say that, Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, I think Zach. It's like, it's always, yes, I will do that. But in my head, I'm like, okay. All right.
That's good.
Yeah.
So let's go into some wings and then Becca will have some questions for you guys. So I'm going to read the wing types here. Wings. And then you tell me which wing kind of maybe sounds more like you. You can use both wings. And Zach, you're still kind of exploring this. So mm-hmm. if neither of them fit you, then cool.
Okay.
So type 9, wing 8 is called the advisor. Can be afraid of loss and separation, avoid personal confrontation and conflict, are social and adaptable, seek balance and peace in life, use routine to ignore their problems, are encouraging and supportive of others, adapt to new ideas or circumstances, connect with and effectively lead others, see multiple perspectives in a situation. And then type 9, wing 1 is called the negotiator. See routine and moral action, fear misfortune and isolation, are optimistic and orderly, avoid disturbing peace and balance, try to numb themselves to their problems, easily see many sides to a situation, desire to help and improve the lives of others, strong work ethic and focus, have a deeply rooted motivation and purpose, and an ability to remain open-minded. What do you guys think?
I don't really connect with either one of those. I think the maybe the 9 in me, there's a couple in each one that jumps out, mm-hmm. but then there's a lot of just like,
I don't know.
I don't really do that that doesn't really apply. Uh-huh. But yeah.
Okay. What about you, Aspen?
I think I might lean towards 9 wing 1 mm-hmm. more than 8, but I would also say that like I can pick out pieces of each one.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Which is, good because you're supposed to use both of them, but.
That's right. You can have access to both of them. Yeah. And so just so everybody knows, like you can have the lines that go for a 9, you can have 3 and you can be attached to 6 and you can use the good and bad of mm-hmm. both of those things. And so those are also attached to a 9. So Becca has some questions for you guys.
Yes, I do. Zach, I want to know what led you to the Enneagram.
For me, it was 2 years ago. My boss at my other job at Muzzleloaders had us just take it randomly. Mm-hmm. I think he had been doing it and thought about it and then was like, hey, let's get the whole team to do it. So I took it and that was kind of my first exposure to it. I scored a 3 mm-hmm. by 2 points on that one. Mm-hmm. But that goes back to, I don't know if I'm a 9 or a 3, but yeah.
What about you, Aspen?
Well, Miss Candace Smith.
Yeah.
As you might have already heard a couple of times.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And also my aunt, she like, mm-hmm. she likes a good personality test.
Yeah.
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 I think it was like the combined efforts of those 2. But it's funny that you say that you, Zach, tested as a 3, because when I first took the test, I tested as a 2 multiple times. Mm. And then like I had to read the description of a 9.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that might be it.
Yep.
Yeah. It was definitely a process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you have 9s and 2s can be really similar humans mm-hmm. and a 9 and a 3 can be similar in the fact that there's like that connection. Mm-hmm. With a 3, and a 3 goes to health and goes to 9 in health too. So there's that connectivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you said that you just want to know, you want people to tell you what to do. Cause I'm a 3. So you saying, I just want someone to tell me what they want me to do so I don't have to waste time.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm all about the efficiency of that. Like, I just do it right the first time.
That's good.
So kind of answer this, but how did you discover your number? It was, both of you kind of had a journey.
A journey.
Sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say when the test that I took it multiple times. And I think the questions where I kept answering more like a two, it was like, do you like to help people? Was the question. And I was like, yes. And like, it was those types of questions because that's kind of the motif of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But
everybody could answer they like to help people, right? Yeah. So that wasn't a very good
But it was
test.
Like other people's wants and needs are important to you or something like that. And I finally had to realize like, because I would read the description of two and I would read about like the unhealthy things that a two does. And I would be like, yeah, okay, that's cool. I don't know if that applies to me, but yeah, that's great. Like that probably works for someone else, but not really me. And then I listened to a podcast about like mistyping twos and nines and like how that happens pretty often apparently. And I finally found out like I do really like to help people and that's what I strive to do in my daily, everyday life. But my motivation behind it was not so much to have an emotional attachment with another human. It was more like to facilitate peace and harmony.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I do like want to have a relationship with that person, but like if it makes the world a better place kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think, I mean, up until it was probably a month ago we sat down.
Yeah.
I thought I was a three.
Yeah.
So for the last 2 years, I assumed I was a three. I read into three stuff and I think kind of there's a lot of looking at all of them in different times. Three, since I scored that much, I spent a lot more time in that one and I could really pick out a lot of things that were like, oh yeah, I see that in myself. I see that in myself. I see that in health. I see that in unhealth. So I think that was kind of how I took to the test. But then sitting down with Ms. Candace like a month ago, figuring out the motivation behind everything that I do.
Right.
I think was key into maybe I am a nine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were, I would just ask you some different questions about how you perceive or do things or are motivated to do those things. And that sometimes when you can have somebody else come in with just kind of an objective, I don't know, you tell me, that can help you kind of sort it out a little bit.
Yep.
Cause sometimes I think it takes a while to I thought I was a nine for a really long time. So
it's more common than you think.
That's what I hear. And, but going back to the motivation, similar to you guys, I think that's helpful. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite meme for your number? Aspen's pulling it up right now.
Well, I have one. I think Aspen's got a bunch, so I'll go first.
And okay, Zach.
Aaron sent me a meme like probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's a picture of Baby Yoda, and he's got his little hand out. Let me pull it up here. And it says, nine's finding that one gap in the conversation to share their opinion and then checking out completely afterwards. I do that quite a bit.
Yeah.
So yes, that was the meme that I like.
Well, that podcast, I don't remember if it was when you guys were talking about movies or something and you weren't connected. No one could hear.
Oh,
I don't know. Cameron was telling me.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to raise my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in our podcast studio, listener, we have four mics that are like already wired in. And so Zach was the fifth wheel that day and we had to have him in, like, he didn't have headphones. I mean, it was just, and also Zach. So for us to hear that Zach wanted to talk, he had to raise his hand. It was horrible.
I'm always going to think of little Yoda now.
I know.
Yeah. But listener, when a nine's ready to speak, we need to be ready to listen because they got something to say.
I follow a Enneagram 9 meme account on Instagram, but I'm only going to share one.
Okay.
And it's this, some like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just a guy, And it says, type 9 after watching someone argue without crying. Jesus, I see what you've done for other people and I want that for me.
That's good. That's good. Awesome.
I think that's just an Aspen thing though. Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay.
What do you love about being your number?
I think for me, going back to the description of a nine, But I think being able to flex in and adapt and to no matter what friend group or situation or anything like that, but to be able to come into that and be able to mold into that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think being very fluid and yeah, just being able to adapt to different situations, I think is...
That's a huge strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
That's exactly what I wrote down. I wrote mm-hmm. adaptability and yeah. like just being able to change. And sometimes I get caught up in that. Like I'm never truly myself. I feel like when it's like an unhealthy situation, but on the healthy side of that,
yeah.
it's like you have the ability to cater to people and like what that group needs in the moment.
Yeah. And I think I think like what you said, I think being able to adapt, but we're not changing who we are. Mm-hmm. I think I still feel like Zach, I'm not yeah. changing mm-hmm. myself in different friend groups or mm-hmm. different situations. Mm-hmm. I'm still Zach, but I can process things differently with different people. And I think,
mm-hmm. yeah, there's a real ability to hold space for somebody, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. and honor them. And that I think that nines have for yeah. sure.
I think there's a peace that comes with nines. I mean, they're called the peacemakers mm-hmm. as well, but just in that, the calmness. And yeah, I have a little brother that's a nine, and his answer is often I'll ask him, you know, like, can you do this or, you know, whatever. And he's, yeah, I got it. I can do that, you know, mm-hmm. and just the calmness that comes mm-hmm. with nines, especially in drama or, you know, mm-hmm. watching them. I have several nines that I know, and watching them respond is
yeah.
an amazing thing.
It's admirable, mm-hmm. admirable quality for sure.
Yeah. What is an assumption that people make about your number that drives you crazy?
This is easy. Laziness.
Yeah. Mm.
I am not. I take that back. There are times where I'm lazy, but when I need to get stuff done and when I'm at work and when mm-hmm. I'm doing things, I'm focused on the task.
Yeah.
I think the assumption that all nine just want to sleep all day.
Yeah.
Is
you know what? No. Maybe we do. About that. Yeah. Who doesn't feel like that every once in yeah. a while?
Yes.
Yeah. What would you say, Aspen?
Every time I read the description for a nine, it says like the sin is like to be a sloth. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain like connotation with that because mm-hmm. it doesn't mean literally just an animal who sleeps all day and does nothing. Like there's a different meaning to it. But I also wrote down something that's like frustrating to me is when I'm on Instagram and I'm going through the Enneagram accounts, and it's like the accounts that are like the Parks and Rec character for every Enneagram type
yeah.
or what every Enneagram type loves to do on a rainy afternoon. And the nine one is always like, it's literally always like wearing a sweatshirt or like the mm-hmm. most bland, boring thing. Like I go on the Parks and Rec one and I'm Jerry. Like,
oh no, Larry, you know, Jerry,
Larry, Gary, Jerry, Gary, Gergich, Gengerch. So,
I'm going to jump back. I think this is the part that I got stuck on the most in figuring out if I'm a three or a nine, mm-hmm. because again, the sloth or that doesn't, I don't relate with that, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. the three negative side is failing. And that was something that I really, and I think that's what I grabbed onto mm-hmm. when I was mm-hmm. trying to figure out the two, was just reading the two like negative parts. And mm-hmm. I think that was where I,
yeah. Yeah.
Do you think, so like, I know threes when they don't want to fail or when they don't know how to do something, they just pause and freeze because they don't want to fail. Do you think that you have like a tendency, like, is there truth behind the, obviously not laziness, but just like slowing down when you don't know?
Oh yeah. I definitely will. Like if I have some stuff that I'm doing that I'm like, hey, where do I start?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. But also on the other side of that, but I think if there's a sport, like I think that's something I really relate to, but if there's a sport that I know that I'm not going to be good at, or I'm going to fail it, I'm not even going to waste my time doing it.
She's literally said the same thing.
Yeah. I don't want to do anything that I already know that I'm yeah. not going to be good at. I need to be the best. I need to be perfect, or I don't want to do it.
Right. Yeah. And I think what you've experienced that, Aspen.
Oh, totally.
What's your motivation behind that?
I think it's like, I also have a fear of failure, mm-hmm. and that's probably mostly because of like my personal circumstances, like just in life, mm-hmm. and like how I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't like see the point in it. Like, I don't think that if I'm constantly going to fail or be bad at it, that it's really going to teach me anything, mm-hmm. because I like can already understand what lesson I might learn from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why would I take the time to mm-hmm. put myself through that when I already know kind of, and maybe I do need to learn that lesson, but I already know what lesson is going to come out of it.
Yeah.
So, and it maybe Becca can speak to this as a three would be like, oh no, there are no limits. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to set a goal and it's even, and I'm going to go and achieve that goal. Even it going in thinking, I may not be good at it today, but I know I can be good at it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Would you agree, Becca?
Yeah, there's certain things definitely that I would say it kind of depends on maybe my outlook or my mood where I'm like, this is a challenge. I'm going to work on it. Mm-hmm. And then there are other things too where it's kind of funny, but in self-reflecting, I do jiu-jitsu. And I've realized that sometimes I won't go like 100% when I'm rolling with a certain person because I know that if I lose to them, it'll be more painful. Mm-hmm. And like it'll hurt my pride more because I'm like, oh, they still tapped me and I was going as hard as I can. So sometimes I hold myself back to like, mm-hmm. kind of save my pride and also keep from ruining my fun.
Sure.
So I don't know if that really tied in, but mm-hmm. yeah, there are certain areas where I downplay because I don't want to fail.
Yeah.
I have the excuse built in.
Do you ever do the thing what they're talking about where you're basically like, I'm not going to give mm-hmm. that any of my time because I know I'm already going to fail in it.
I don't know.
Cause yeah. I don't think I've met a three. A three would be like, that is a goal to work towards mm-hmm. and I am capable of working towards it.
Yeah. If it's something I care about, then yes,
for
it's
sure.
definitely like, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which, so the three and the nines, they are on a line or mm-hmm. something?
Okay. Both in health, actually.
So I would go to nine in health, they go to three mm-hmm. in health.
Well, hey. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey there.
Yeah. They're friends. Okay. Where is an area you would want to grow in?
I think for me, it would be just confidence in my number mm-hmm. because I've only really identified as a nine for just under a year. I'm newlywed. Tonight.
Well, and I think it's important too that I think we can change numbers. Am I speaking blasphemy or
Enneagram blasphemy?
Yeah.
I think we're on a journey to discovering who God has mm-hmm. made us to be. And I don't know if we change those numbers or those that becomes revealed to us as we grow and change, become more mm-hmm. aware of who we are. Mm-hmm. I think Enneagram enthusiasts would probably say no. Mm-hmm. It's pretty nailed in when you're a kid.
Mm, okay.
But it's a journey to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I think it's more like your number's at the end of the road and you might like have to go through a couple numbers to get there.
But yeah. Yeah.
Because even if you are built a certain way to be a certain number when you're a kid, like, do you know that? Like, are you that self-aware?
No.
So.
Yeah. Yep. What about you, Zach?
I think it goes back to my meme. I think being using my voice, I think is something that mm-hmm. I really need to work on because it goes back to, I think wise mentors is a great word choice for that because I think as nines, we don't speak up, but we still know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think using my voice and not just checking out when I'm done, mm-hmm. but keeping in the conversation and keep, even if it's like a large group, being able to keep popping in and out and, mm-hmm. and have confidence in knowing, like, I'm saying these things because I mm-hmm. I've studied or I know, but I think just using my voice more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In our time together on staff, as I've gotten to know you, mm-hmm. As my brother in Christ, I've just seen you have an amazing gift in the Lord. He gives you pictures and visions of mm-hmm. things and scriptures to back them up. And I've seen the same thing in Aspen, actually, where God has gifted her very prophetically.
Yeah.
And when that moment comes and you guys I've been in the room when both of you has shared those things, it's super powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just wondering, what's the fight? What are you fighting when you're not wanting to speak?
I think it's never that, like, I just don't want to talk. It's never that, like, I just don't want to be engaged in the conversation. It's usually, like, some of the, like, internal manners that I have, like, oh, I'm not going to interrupt you right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll just talk for an hour and I still won't interrupt. But, like, it's also, like, trying to put words around it. Like, I want to give you space to talk. And
that feels good to you to give give others space to honor that.
I feel like there's something else I'm trying to grab at, but I'm not quite in the.
Okay, well, think about it. I'll ask Zach what he thinks about that.
For me, it really goes back to the fear of failing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say something that I'm going to regret. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say something that is just not smart. I don't want to say anything that brings down the conversation. I don't want to. Sure. If it's a great conversation, I don't want to say something that's going to turn it the wrong way.
Got it.
Even though, like, it's all, there's a bunch of layers, I guess. But even if I do say something like that, who knows if it's going to change the conversation. But I have that fear.
Sure.
Of, I don't want to speak up because.
Right. You don't want to impose your.
Yeah. What if I say something that.
It's just stupid.
And it jacks the conversation.
Yeah. What
if, I think that's kind of like how I feel is like, I don't want to. I think about like, oh, I should make this joke. It's so funny to me. And then sometimes when I say it, I'm like, oh, no one thought that was funny. Okay. And then I never speak again.
I want to hear inside your head more. I like this.
That's good.
How has God used the Enneagram to change you? I think, well, you kind of hinted on some things.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've seen a lot of growth in is being able to use my voice and being able to have confidence and be able to adapt to different situations. And while I'm adapting, being able to add value to the conversation, add value to the circumstances or whatever, not just being able to adapt, but being able to adapt and
add something.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I think in a very like practical sense, I have a kind of like a niche spot for me. Cause I think that's something that I want is like a place that matters and like to feel like I have a place in the world. Mm-hmm. But another thing that I really like about the Enneagram is like, I can use it as a tool to really just like figure out other people and learn how I can cater to them and how I can treat them how they want to be treated. And not in like a manipulative way, like I'm trying to figure you out so I can say every buzzword that gets you to like me. Like, that's not what I mean. But sometimes I have done that. Yep. Unhealthy. But just like trying to figure out how to treat you correctly.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of almost like a shortcut in ways.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. To get to the
efficiency.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm all about that.
And I think also just honoring somebody and how they process and how God is made. And I, you know, one of the things I think I said, you guys didn't hear this in the intro that I did on the roll-in, but that's one of the things that I think is important about us learning the Enneagram in our culture right now. Mm-hmm. Just being able to honor differing opinions and the diversity that God has made and hold space for people who have a differing viewpoint.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's really valuable right now.
Yeah. That's something that's very irksome to me right now is like just discounting someone's opinion because they have a different label than you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's something I find like as I wrestle with that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I wish like everyone could just be friends. Yes.
Peacemakers. I really like this question. If you could choose another type to be for a day, what number would you choose?
I would probably say 3.
Becca's like, yeah.
I think a lot of where, again, 9s are not lazy, but we do spend our time kind of in a comfort zone and in Netflix. But being able to use that time and just keep developing skills or keep progressing forward in that healthy 3-ness, I think that's something that really
speaks to you.
I really enjoy that.
Love that. What are you, Aspen?
I think being a 4 might be kind of fun.
Sure.
I think I might not like it on the long term, but I think like I just really admire 4s because whenever I meet a 4, I'm like, you are such a creative person and you always like make something, like literally make something that I admire.
Yeah.
And I also like 7s and 8s. And I mean, I would be every number. Let's be real. I don't want to like choose one and be like, I love you so much. But I do like 8s because they are able to say what they feel in the words that are appropriate, which I sometimes fail at. And I think sevens like are just really fun because mm-hmm. my relationship with sevens are really good. Like they always encourage me and make me step out when I don't want to, but it's healthy and it's fun.
That's your experience too, Zach.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a couple sevens around that are able to pull you out of that. I mean, just instead of just watching TV, hey, let's go on an adventure. Let's go on a road trip. I need that in my life.
That's good.
More than just.
Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but like I wouldn't instigate that
for myself. All. Not at all.
So, yeah.
Back to the lazy thing. My father-in-law, I think, is a 9, Cameron's dad. And like I said, I'm pretty sure he's a 9. And he is probably the most hardworking man I know. Like he's always doing some sort of project. He's very, very organized. But I think this is kind of a stubbornness about him. He always is going at his pace. And it's not fast. It's just like a steady pace. And I think some people could, you know, think that in some way as laziness, but really he's like just steady. Yeah. And that's what I think of nines. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that laziness. It's just, it's more just this, they set a pace and they're going to go at it.
Yeah.
I think looking at it and is like, okay, I have a couple hours to do something. Why not just watch TV? But if I have, like, if I'm at work, I'm not going to slow my pace down. I'm not going to, like, I don't really feel like doing anything. Mm-hmm. I'm working hard. I'm working to get my job done. But then when I have a couple hours, instead of, like, advancing kind of like threes, developing new skills, I think I tend to, maybe I'll just lay on the couch. Maybe I'll just,
Sometimes I look forward to that.
Yes, I'm like, exactly.
I'm done with school. Now I get to watch a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important to have, you know, to have self-care.
Self-care. I think some of us,
I don't like that term.
You don't like that?
Well, Parks and Rec, like the treat yourself. But treat yourself. I think sometimes that can be overused where it's like, but yeah.
Yeah.
That was a tangent.
I think the danger of self-care is being self-focused.
Yes.
So.
Definitely. You can go too far.
Yeah, if you're a 2 out there, all of that does not apply to you. You actually do need self-care.
Disclaimer.
It's not selfish for you to have self-care, as 2s will attest to. Yeah, so what has been bringing you life during this COVID season?
I think I'm going to kind of grind against 9 a little bit. I think for me, the season has been tough. I think even though I'm an introvert, I still need to go out and do stuff and to have things like closed down or shut down or all this like impeding my like routines, I think has been really, really hard. On the flip side, though, I think this season has been able to pull me out of my comfort zone a little bit and force me to develop new skills or new ways of community. Like social media is a big one for me. I don't do any of that, but really like
I've seen some of your posts lately. They're pretty good.
I'm starting to learn and adapt and be able to figure those things out that are not natural and not comfortable to me.
Yeah. That's a win.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was curious as to what you were going to say, because my answer to this question, when I read it, I was like, it hasn't been very fun.
Yeah,
it's been hard.
Yep.
And for me, it was just like, well, last year when it all started, I was a junior in high school and I was just thinking about all the stuff that I would miss and how like, I was like, what the heck is this timing? Like have to go into my senior year with a global pandemic. It's just like a lot to handle. But one thing that I find really, really beautiful is how God has allowed the structure of things to change and how some people are really uncomfortable with it, but I kind of find peace in it because it's something new and like, I just enjoy how it's different and how it probably needs to be different. And I think the means of getting there was a little bit harsh, but we got there.
Yep.
So
That's good.
Is there a scripture that has been speaking to your heart lately?
For me, it was Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Yeah, it's good.
I think it kind of goes back to you wanting to be a four. I think for me personally, as a, like, I don't want to say as a nine, but as Zach, I am not creative. The creative side, just, I don't understand. Sure. So to have a God who is creative, who made us all different, who made us all different types of numbers, different whatever, I think is awesome, being able to see that puzzle piece, like that puzzle be able to just complete itself. So
that's good.
Yeah. I don't have a particular verse that's really speaking to me. I was trying to find one, and I think there were just honestly too many. That's kind of like a Sunday school answer, like, oh, there's too many verses. But
John 3:16.
Pull that one out. Genesis 1:1, you know, it's great. I don't know. I'm just like, my journey with God is really on a different track right now. And I'm like just at the beginning. So it's hard to know, like, kind of where I've been and what I need to know now based on a verse, or like what's really speaking to me, because it's just like, I'm still in the beginning and I'm trying to navigate just how to be here right now. So there's a lot that's I can learn from. There's a lot of verses that speak to me. So
that's good. So last question, not on your list. If there's a listener out there who's thinking maybe I might be a nine, would there be anything you'd want to tell them about the journey, or what would you share with them?
You might be a nine if you were not a nine to begin with. You might mistype yourself. No, really quick shout out to all the numbers I didn't say I wanted to be. I love you guys too.
Heyo, peacemaker.
I know. Yeah. That's funny.
But man, I think that nines just need to know, like, well, I mean, the phrase that I would use is just you're valuable. And like, if you feel like you just struggle to connect in conversations, or maybe you're a background character, like, you have a place and you have a position that's really important. And like, people do listen to you, and it's important that you talk.
Yeah.
Even that's though good. It's uncomfortable.
Come on, kid. That's good.
That's so good. You said it so well. I think, looking at being able to adapt as a strength, and not just being able to adapt, but to go into a background, but being able to adapt and to add value and to, use your voice. I think that is the peacemaker. That is the nine.
That's good. So that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for you guys in the kingdom of God. You're very needed. And so I'm glad that you're saying, be adaptable and speak your voice, because we need you in the room. Yep. That's good. Well, thank you, listener. This is our last one. Oh my gosh, you guys.
We did it.
We did it. Yay. Thank you, listener, for joining in with all of these podcasts. We had 10 total. And so we're just so thankful that you listened to all of them. That's amazing. And we just pray you have a blessed journey with God. And if the Enneagram has helped you connect closer to Jesus, then that's a win. That's a win for us. So thank you for listening in, and God bless.
See each other through, to know and love ourselves and others well. It's the most difficult and meaningful work we'll ever do.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com, lg4square.com, and you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.